from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listeners. How are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia's free nutritious meal program kicks off in 26 provinces. Indonesian coordinating minister urged young people to increase vertical mobility. Indonesian agriculture ministry targets to stop importing for food in 2025. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where the free nutritious meal, a landmark program of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's government, is ready to start at 190 points across 26 of 37 Indonesian provinces. The program's start coincides with the first day of school in most of the country this week. As reported by Antara News Agency in a statement on Sunday, head of the Indonesian Presidential Communication Office, Hasan Nasbi, claimed it as a historic milestone for Indonesians. That is because a national-scale nutritional program for toddlers, school children, and boarding school students, as well as pregnant and breastfeeding mothers, is implemented in the country for the first time. According to him, the Indonesian National Nutrition Agency, BGN, said 190 kitchen spots called Nutrition Fulfillment Service Units, or SPPG, are ready to operate. Each kitchen is managed by head, appointed by the agency, and works with nutritionists and accountants to ensure food quality and distribution. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Pratikno encouraged Indonesian youth, especially from needy families, to dream big and work hard to improve vertical mobility. In an event held at the ministry's office in Jakarta on Monday, Pratikno emphasized the importance of education to open opportunities and change destinies. He hopes that young people will use education to improve their economic status and achieve their dreams.
Tapi ya kita harus mendorong, memfasilitasi anak-anak Indonesia.
But we must encourage and facilitate Indonesian children to experience vertical mobility together. We should not allow what is referred to in left-wing political science as class reproduction. We shouldn't let the lower class produce more of the lower class, where only the upper class can become the upper class. At the Coordinating Minister of Human Development and Culture, this is our great responsibility to manage health and education so Indonesian children can experience vertical mobility.
Ngurusi tentang pendidikan agar anak-anak Indonesia mengalami mobilitas vertikal.
Pratikno also reaffirmed the state's commitment to facilitate young people to achieve their dreams with better education and wide open opportunities. He is optimistic that Indonesian youth can change their fate and contribute positively to the nation's future. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, pushed the newly inaugurated Artificial Intelligence AI Center of Brawijaya University to contribute to Indonesia's food self-sufficiency mission. As reported by Antara, after officiating the AI Center in Malang, East Java on Sunday, Minister Hafid said her ministry will support the facility to deliver notable outputs, such as AI-powered application that offers conveniences, including those supportive of food security. Hafid observed that the AI center located at the Rectorate building of Brawijaya University is already equipped with the tools and equipment required to enhance the use of AI technology in various sectors such as food, health, agribusiness, logistics and manufacturing. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture targets not to import 4 food commodities by 2025: rice, corn, salt and sugar. As reported by Antara News Agency, the country's Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Sudaryono, hopes that millennial farmers will play a role in achieving the target by directly planting those commodities, hence domestic agricultural productions can meet the public needs. He said it during a visit to Banyuwangi Regency East Java on Sunday. Deputy Minister Sudaryanto noted that Banyuwangi is an agricultural area with a large agricultural output. He also said the regency is also known for its innovation in the agricultural sector, especially now that many young people are involved. Sudaryanto appreciated the acceleration of the agricultural program by the Banyuwangi Regency government, which has encouraged many young people to get involved in agriculture. Indonesian National Police Traffic Corps said a traffic demerit point system compiled in a personal traffic activity report would be applied to all holders of national driving license starting in 2025. As reported by Antara in a written statement on Sunday, the Corps Chief Inspector General Aan Suhanan said it will reflect the residents' safe driving habits on the road and the perimeter will be their traffic violations or accidents. Suhanan explained that the driving license holder will have 12 points each year, which will be deducted every time they commit traffic violation. If they lose all the points, their driving license will be revoked. According to Suhanan, minor offenses are worth 1 point, moderate level offenses are worth 3 points, and major offenses means a reduction of 5 points. South Korean football coach Shin Tae-yong was dismissed as the head coach of Indonesia's national football team on Monday. The All Indonesian Football Association Press SE in a statement said that it was made based on long and mature considerations and evaluation carried out by the Federation and the Indonesian Board of National Team. They evaluate Indonesia's national football team's performance and the long-term goals the team wants to achieve. The Federation then thanked and appreciated all contributions that have been given by Shin Tae-yong to the development of the country's national football team, as well as wish him the best for his future. Shin Tae-yong has been the head coach of the Indonesian national football team since 2020. During his management, he led Indonesia to qualify for the AFC ASEAN Cup in 2023, ending Indonesia's 16 years absence from the competition. Indonesia has also made a debut in the AFC Under-23 ASEAN Cup in 2024 during his tenure. In the same year, the Federation President Erick Thohir announced that Shin's contract was extended until 2027. The United Nations Children's Fund UNICEF disclosed that more than 9 million children are out of schools across Ethiopia due to man-made and natural disasters. As reported by Xinhua on Sunday in its latest Ethiopian Humanitarian Situations report released late Thursday, UNICEF also said that more than 6,000 schools have been closed across the East African country due to climate shocks and conflict. The report also noted that over 10,000 schools, representing 18% of schools across the country, have been damaged by conflicts and climate shocks, further reducing the availability of safe and functional learning spaces for children. UNICEF highlighted the ongoing conflict situations in different parts of Ethiopia, particularly in the Amhara and Oromia regions. The Ethiopian government often blames extremist groups for obstructing vital services, including education, in areas where armed groups are present. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on Indonesian free nutritious meal program move towards the nation's future. I'm Dalat Pane. Today, January 6, 2025, the Indonesian government launched a big initiative, namely the free nutritious meal MBG program for millions of students in the country. The program will be running for 5 years. It aims to address malnutrition and create a healthier future for the Indonesian young generation. The initiative involved more than 1,900 co-ops, village-owned businesses, and various other local entities. All will make a strong collaboration to fight malnutrition or food shortage, strengthen local economy, and improve the people's life quality. While running for 3 months from January until March 2025, the program is predicted to benefit around 3.3 million students. Some 6 million students are aimed to receive it by mid-2025, and 82 million by 2029. The government stated the beneficiaries are not only students from preschool to high school, but also pregnant mothers and toddlers for being a vital part of the nation's future. To ensure the program's continuity in 2025, the Indonesian government allocated around 20% of the state budget, or around 71 trillion rupiahs. The budget aimed to ensure nutritious meals could be distributed to all students across Indonesia. Predictably, some 1,000 nutrition fulfillment centers work hard to provide 3,000 to 3,500 food portions every day. Every portion worth 10,000 rupees or less than $1. However, more than fulfilling nutrition's needs, the program also plays a key role in boosting the local economy. By involving many parties in the production and distribution of staple foods such as egg, vegetable, fish, and rice, the program is expected to create a positive economic cycle in the village while supporting the micro, small, and medium enterprises. Providing free nutritious meals to students, mainly children, is an important investment in the health and future of the country. This program not only addresses malnutrition but also supports children's academic and cognitive development, with the hope that Indonesia's young generation will be ready to contribute to the country's progress in the future. While enthusiasm for this program is high, some challenges remain, especially ensuring efficient distribution and maintaining food quality. However, the program reflects a long-term vision for Indonesia's social and economic progress, with the goal of improving the quality of life for millions while supporting a cooperative-based economy across the country. It is important to continue to monitor and assess the impact of the program. Should it be successful, the program could serve as a model for other countries seeking to address hunger, improve public health, and empower local communities. Overall, the Indonesia Free Nutritious Meals Program is an innovative and bold initiative that demonstrates the Indonesian government's commitment to improving the health and well-being of its people. That's commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's begin today in history with an event on January 6, 1912, when New Mexico became part of the United States. On January 6, 1912, New Mexico was officially recognized as the 47th state of the United States of America. Located in the southwestern region of the country, New Mexico is part of the Mountain States, specifically in the southern Rocky Mountains. It shares the Four Corners regions with Utah, Colorado, and Arizona. New Mexico also borders Texas to the east and southeast, Oklahoma to the northeast, and has an international border with the Mexican states of Chihuahua and Sonora to the south. Its largest city is Albuquerque, while its capital, Santa Fe, is the oldest state capital in the United States, established in 1610 as the administrative center of Nuevo Mexico in New Spain. Let's move on to January 6, 1951, when the Gangwa Massacre occurred. The Gangwa Massacre was a tragic event carried out by the South Korean forces, South Korean police, and pro-South Korean militias between January 16 and 19, 1951. An estimated 212 to 1,300 people were killed during the massacre in the Gangwa area, part of the ancient metropolitan city in South Korea. The victims were accused of collaborating with the Korean People's Army during North Korea's occupation. In 2003, a historical book documenting the massacre was published by the Gangwa Cultural Center. On February 26, 2006, the National Archive of Korea confirmed an official document dated August 30, 1951, in which Attorney General Jo Jin-man reported the massacre to Prime Minister Chang Myon. Later, on July 17, 2008, South Korea's Truth and Reconciliation Commission officially recognized the massacre of civilians. We conclude today in history with the commemoration of War Orphans Day, observed every January 6th. On January 6th is recognized as International War Orphan Day, a day to remember children who lost their parents during wars in their countries. According to UNICEF, in 2015, there were nearly 140 million orphaned children worldwide. As reported by National Today, International War Orphans Day was established by SOS, Enfants en Détresse, a French organization to raise awareness and encourage greater compassion for these vulnerable children.
Sudah
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia highlights Indonesia-China Partnership, a joint venture to develop fisheries systems in Maluku and Papua. Indonesian Minister for Investment and Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Rosan P. Roslani, has revealed that Indonesian and Chinese entrepreneurs will join forces to invest in an integrated fisheries system in the regions of Maluku and Papua. The project, with a $460 million commitment, is spearheaded by the Chinese company Zhuhai Hongwan Ocean Fisheries. As reported by Antara, following a briefing on the matter to President Prabowo Subianto at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, January 2nd, Minister Ruslani detailed the investment plan. The initiative will involve four companies spanning sectors such as fiberglass, PET resin, solar panels, and of course, fisheries. Together, these companies will work to establish an integrated system aimed at bolstering the fishing industry in these critical regions. In mid-December 2024, Minister Ruslani visited China on a business trip to attract further investment. During this visit, he secured a commitment of $7.46 billion from four Chinese companies. Three additional companies have also pledged significant investment in Indonesia. Hongxi Holding Groups, for instance, is set to develop an industrial zone focused on producing raw materials for solar panels, batteries, and components, along with a 2-gigawatt coal-fired power plant. The total investment for this industrial zone is expected to reach $5 billion, allocated in stages. Furthermore, Juicy Group, a leading Chinese producer of fiberglass, has committed to an initial investment of $1 billion. The company sees opportunities in the growing demand for fiberglass as an alternative roofing material, aligning with Indonesia's governmental housing development goals. Juicy Groups has also expressed interest in further investment across sectors such as agriculture and renewable energy. The third company, Wankai New Materials, part of the Zinc Group, has pledged to invest $1 billion in Indonesia's petrochemical industry, particularly in the production of PET. This investment will be rolled out in three stages. During this visit, Minister Rosan Ruslani expressed his appreciation for these commitments and emphasized the government's readiness to facilitate the necessary permits and processing to accelerate this investment. That was My Indonesia Today.
Yes, girl! It's your boy! Yeah! How about this thing?
Aku merasakan ya baru sekali, getar-getar cinta yang berdebar-debar. Begitu segar buat mata berbinar-binar. Ku rasa aku jatuh cinta pada pandangan yang pertama. Cinta yang tak pernah ku rasa sebelumnya. Sebelumnya, sebelumnya. Aku gak bisa mikir, sumpah gak bisa mikir. Selain mikirin kamu setiap malam-malam. Cinta yang begitu indah, tapi tak seperti sekarang indahnya. Aku gak bakal mau lepasin kamu, aku gak bakal mau ninggalin kamu, aku gak bakal mau duain kamu. Gak ada duanya, gak ada duanya. Aku
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Banyuwangi never runs out of fascinating tourist destinations, and one of them is the Jawatan Forest, located in Bencoluk Village, Klereng District, Banyuwangi. This 4-hectare forest is managed by Perum Perhutani Banyuwangi Selatan. It offers breathtaking views of giant rain trees that create a magical atmosphere similar to fantasy world. The canopy of these ancient trees forms enchanting natural corridors, making it one of the most photogenic spots in East Java. The Jawatan Forest, which was officially listed as a tourist attraction by the Banyuwangi Regency Tourism Office in June 2018, is only about a 45 minutes drive from downtown Banyuwangi and very easily accessible by road. In addition to admiring the beauty of the centuries-old rain trees, visitors can enjoy various exciting activities such as taking photos, picnic, or even exploring the forest by riding a horse-drawn carriage or horseback. During the morning and late afternoon, sunlight streaming through tree branches creates a dramatic visual effect, making this best time to visit. The facilities at the Jawatan Forest are quite complete. There is a spacious parking area, food stalls offering local dishes, as well as toilets and a prayer room for visitors' convenience. This place is also ideal for families who want to enjoy the natural atmosphere while relaxing. Don't forget to bring your camera to capture the beauty of every corner of this forest. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about the perusahaan ekspedisi. The perusahaan ekspedisi, which means a shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word two times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, biaya, which means fee. Pengiriman, pengiriman, which means shipping. Dari Semarang, dari Semarang, which means from Semarang. Ke Palangkaraya, ke Palangkaraya, which means to Palangkaraya. 1.300.000 rupiah. Rp1.300.000, which means Rp1.300.000 per, which means each. Sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. Berapa biaya? Which means how much is the fee? Mengirim, which means to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000, which means membership in this gym is Rp100.000 per month. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang, which means the movie ticket is Rp50.000 per person. For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
ku rindu disayangi sepenuh hati. Sedalam cintaku, setulus hatiku, ku ingin dimiliki. Kekasih hati tanpa air mata, tanpa kesalahan. Bukan cinta yang melukai diriku dan meninggalkan hidupku lagi. Tolonglah aku dari kehampaan ini, selamatkan cintaku dari hancurnya hatiku, hempaskan kesendirian yang tak pernah berakhir, bebaskan aku dari keadaan. Sempurnakan hidupku dari rapuhnya jiwaku. Adakah seseorang yang melepaskanku dari kesepian ini?
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. On this Music Corner segment, we present a keroncong song entitled 1984 by Superman Is Dead. The song written by I Gede Ari Astina, also known as Jerings and Roy Parsua, was released on a digital video streaming platform on November 28, 2024. Inspired by George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984, This song is a tribute to individual and collective freedom threatened by both local and global oligarchies under the guise of pandemics and natural disasters. Well, listener, here is Superman Is Dead with the song 1984. Happy listening.
Indonesia. cinta antara kita kini tinggal kenangan. Ingin ku lupakan semua tentang dirimu, namun tak lagi kan seperti dirimu, oh bintangku. Jauh kau pergi meninggalkan diriku, di sini aku merindukan dirimu. Kini ku coba mencari penggantimu, namun tak lagi kan seperti dirimu, oh kekasih.
Hi listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.